Blog Talk Radio.
Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog. He was shot in the street. He was racially profiled.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Harry had a little man in streets white as snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back 1 hour later. That means we are running until 11 o'clock tonight. And that is because I got in late, and it was a long day. My feet, my foot, my dogs. I don't know what other terminology there is for feet that they use in the ghetto. What's the other terms I use, JC?
Chevrolet.
Yeah, whatever.
Your Chevrolet.
Yes, my Chevrolets, my Q-footy-footies, my shufflers. They are hurting real bad. Real bad. I had a long day today, but...
Your pavement crashers?
Say again?
Your pavement crashers?
Yeah, my pavement crashers. That's a good one. I like that. My stompers, they were... Yeah, they will work a lot today. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. But I don't need to go into that. As you heard the opening monologue of the show, which is, of course, comes from Frederica Wilson. You know who she is. She is the congresswoman from Florida who has that classic line, that classic line, about Trayvon being hunted down like a dog.
Like a rabid dog.
That's right, like a rabid dog.
Mr. Speaker, this is Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's murderer is still at large. It's been 1 month, 30 days with no arrest. I want America to see this sweet young boy who was hunted down like a dog, shot in the street, and his killer is still at large. Not one person has been arrested in Trayvon's murder. I want to make sure that America knows that in Sanford, Florida, there was a young boy murdered. He is buried in Miami, Florida, and not one person has been arrested, even though we all know who the murderer is. This was a standard case of racial profiling. No more. No more. We will stand for justice for Trayvon Martin. Mr. Speaker, I reserve the balance of my time.
That was Frederica Wilson in Washington on the Senate floor. And then went out in a press conference and said the most famous of all lines.
Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog.
Dog.
He was shot in the street. He was racially profiled.
That's what she
said. Racially profiled.
Said he was racially profiled. says he was racially profiled. There were others. Of course, there were others. They all had something to say. They all had something to say. You know who they are. Maxine Waters.
Well, I think his mother described it perfectly. She said it's a character assassination. We're seeing a lot of facts unveiled each day. As each day goes by, we learn more and more about not only this character assassination and the leaks, but what happened the night of his death. We're learning, just as you opened this program with, that the lead investigator said that this Zimmerman should be charged with manslaughter, and it was overturned literally by the state's attorney. When we first heard about this case, we didn't know that. An investigation must go on. The Justice Department must be on the ground. They've got to be involved with this. There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime.
Congressman Waters, let me just follow up on that. That's been a concern.
She said that there are too many unanswered questions. Listen to that point, ladies and gentlemen. There are too many unanswered questions, but I believe that he was racially profiled. Well, couldn't one of those unanswered questions be whether or not he was racially profiled? You've got too many unanswered questions. You state, Maxine Waters, that there are too many unanswered questions. But according to you, you believe that he was racially profiled with too many unanswered questions? Really? I'm still trying to figure that out. And then, of course, the king of all race baiters, Al Sharpton, he got involved too.
He went to the store for his brother. He came back and lost his life. Trayvon could have been any one of our sons. Trayvon could have been any one of us. Trayvon represents a reckless disregard for our lives that we've seen too long. And we come to tell you tonight, enough is enough. We are tired of going to jail for nothing and others going home for something. Zimmerman should have been arrested that night. Zimmerman had probable cause that night. You cannot defend yourself against a pack of Skittles and iced tea. Don't talk to us like we stupid. Don't talk to us like we ignorant. We love our children like you love yours. Lock them up.
So, of course, Al Sharpton got involved and then turned around and said it had nothing to do with racism. And then, of course, there were other people who got involved. I'm not going to mention them, but more important than anybody. Oh, let's go to Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is indeed an American tragedy. Too often, this violent act that resulted in the murder of Trayvon Martin is repeated in the streets of our nation. I applaud the young people all across the land who are making a statement about hoodies, about the real hoodlums in this nation, particularly those who tread on our laws wearing official or quasi-official clothes. Racial profiling has to stop, Mr. Speaker. Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hoodlum. The Bible teaches us, Mr. Speaker, In the book of Micah 6:6-8,
the member will sustain.
These words.
That's right. Bobby Rush got on the Senate floor, put on a hoodie, had to be removed by security. And it's not just the Negro. The Negro. The word I'm looking for. It's not just the Negroes in Congress and in the Senate. It's not just those Negroes. Not only was it those people, it was, of course, the people in the media. Let's not forget them. Let's go back to March 28th, one month, and 2 days after the death of Trayvon Martin. Let's go to March 28th, ABC News, Matt Gutman.
A brand new video tonight, this one. In the Trayvon Martin case, ABC's Matt Gutman obtained pictures today of the man in the center of the spotlight, in the center of the argument and debate, the man who allegedly killed Martin while patrolling the neighborhood.
In exclusive video obtained by ABC News tonight, you can see George Zimmerman in handcuffs, walking into the Sanford Police Department to be questioned. This is the first time we've seen him the night of the shooting. You see him here being frisked. He is wearing that red fleece jacket described by eyewitnesses the night he shot Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman claims it was self-defense, that Martin attacked him, punching him and slamming his head on the ground. But take a closer look at this video. We slow it down. No visible blood on his head or his nose or his clothes. We know he never went to the emergency room that night. And while
That's the way they broke it down. No visible wounds. 2 days later, Matt Gutman, same story.
Latest on the Trayvon Martin shooting, that police surveillance video has raised all kinds of questions about exactly what happened the night he was killed by George Zimmerman. And now Zimmerman's brother is speaking out for the first time with his account. ABC's Matt Gutman has the story from Sanford, Florida.
For the first time, George Zimmerman's brother is speaking out about this. Surveillance video first obtained by ABC News showing the neighborhood watch volunteer cuffed inside the police department roughly 30 minutes after shooting Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman's brother, Robert, appearing on CNN's Piers Morgan tonight, says he believes the video shows visible signs of injury.
We're confident the medical records are going to explain all of George's medical history. His nose looks swollen in that video, and a lot of these injuries take time, 24, 26 hours, to show the bruising.
Zimmerman told police Martin punched him, pushing his head on the concrete. The police report notes blood on his head and nose and that he was treated at the scene.
He was barely conscious. His last thing he remembers doing was moving his head from the concrete to the grass so that if he was banged one more time, he wouldn't be, you know, wearing diapers for the rest of his life and being spoon-fed by his brother.
In this police video, you see an officer examining the back of Zimmerman's head. Seconds later, zoom in. Some wonder, is this a gash on his head? Yet there are no bandages, no blood. And here, as he walks steadily through the station, his shirt and jacket appear unstained. And in this shot, his face shows no obvious signs of injury.
Does he look like he was beaten up to you?
Shows no obvious signs of injury. Look at that. Look at that report, Matt Gutman. Bravo, Matt Gutman. That's March 30th. But what happens 2 days later? Let me get this right, because I know I have to make sure how many days it is. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. So that means that this is 3 days later on April 3rd. This is ABC News' Matt Gutman.
Now to an ABC News exclusive in the Trayvon Martin shooting case. We were the first to show you this surveillance video of George Zimmerman arriving at police headquarters the night of the shooting, seemingly uninjured despite claiming that he'd been in a life or death struggle. Well, this morning, you're about to see a new version of that same tape. ABC's Matt Gutman joins us now to show us what that reveals. And Matt, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Josh. So we took that video, we enhanced it, we redigitized it to find what we think is the clearest, sharpest image yet of what may have happened that night, revealing for the first time what appeared to be a pair of gashes or welts on George Zimmerman's head.
This video, enhanced exclusively for ABC News, shows even more clearly the first moments after George Zimmerman arrived at the Sanford Police Department just after shooting Trayvon Martin. The entire raw video obtained by ABC News and clarified by Forensic Protection, Inc. sharpens the video from this to this. The sharper video now appearing to show some form of mark or gash
on the back of Zimmerman's head. A police report from that night describes blood on the back of his head and his nose.
Enhanced videos are used by law enforcement to identify individuals, injuries. Well, what you're able to see in this enhanced video is marks on the back of Mr. Zimmerman's head.
Overnight, Orlando station WKMG obtained dispatch audio as emergency responders canceled the second ambulance called to take Zimmerman to the hospital.
Cancel second rescue up.
And as the clamor for Zimmerman's arrest grows, thousands crowded into this Miami park late Sunday for a rally, chanting,
"Justice for Trayvon!
Yeah, justice for Trayvon! Oh, but now he's got bruises in the back of his head! Oh, now he's got bruises in the back of his head! Thank you, Matt Gutman! He's got bruises in the back of his head! I can't believe it! I can't believe it! But they kept going! They kept going! Even though they had been reporting that there were no visible gashes, questioning the veracity of George Zimmerman's claim. Questioning the veracity of his claim. And then we know that the bloody photo came out. Alan Dershowitz, he came out and said this.
After this conversation, you've seen the affidavit of probable cause. What do you make of it?
It won't suffice. Most affidavits of probable cause are very thin. This is so thin that it won't make it past the judge on a second-degree murder charge. There's simply nothing in there that would justify second-degree murder. The elements of the crime aren't established. Basically, what's in the affidavit is what's in the public domain, with the exception of the few little things that were put forward by your previous commentator. But the fact that the mother identified the voice as that of her son, of course, we all knew that that was going to happen. There's nothing in there, of course, either about the stains on the back of Zimmerman's shirt, the blood on the back of his head, the bloody nose, all of that. It's not only thin, it's irresponsible. I think that what you have here is an elected public official who made a campaign speech last night for re-election when she gave her presentation and overcharged, way overcharged. This case will not, if the evidence is no stronger than what appears in the probable cause affidavit, this case will result in an acquittal.
The case will result in acquittal. Alan Dershowitz tried to warn people a long time ago. Hey, CBS, didn't they say there were no bruises? But check this one out. This is where it gets completely irresponsible. Completely irresponsible. CBS News, as well as all the media, trying to drum up support that this was an unjustified shooting. Who did they go to? They went to the Trayvon Martin funeral director. The funeral director. And during that report, he said this.
The defense of George Zimmerman rests on a violent fight that he says occurred before he fired the shot that killed Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman is the neighborhood watch volunteer at the center of the case. It was almost 5 weeks ago that Martin, the unarmed 17-year-old, was killed after Zimmerman found him suspicious. We don't know what happened immediately before the shot was fired, but Mark Strassman joins us tonight with important new evidence in the case. Mark?
Scott, Trayvon Martin was buried in Miami with a gunshot wound to the chest. But otherwise, according to Richard Kirch, the funeral director who prepared Martin for burial, his body showed no injuries.
We could see no physical signs like there had been a scuffle, there had been a fight. You know, the hands, I didn't see any knuckles, bruises or what have you. And that is something that we would cover up if it would have been there.
And the surveillance tape shows George Zimmerman in handcuffs 40 minutes after he killed Trayvon Martin. He seemed to show no apparent injuries either. Yet Zimmerman claims Martin beat him and threatened his life, so he shot the teenager in self-defense.
So they go to the funeral director, and the funeral director says that when he looked over Trayvon Martin's body, he showed no bruises on Trayvon Martin's knuckles, and if he did, they would have covered them up. The funeral director is a freaking liar. Isn't he? The funeral director is a goddamn liar. Because the autopsy of Trayvon Martin, which was released yesterday, shows that Trayvon Martin did have bruising on his knuckles. He did. So this Negro, who buried Trayvon Martin, who prepared his body for burial, is a liar. And if you heard Scott Paley in that interview, in the beginning of that, important new evidence. Somebody tell me the last time a funeral director was ever called in as a forensic scientist for a murder. Just name one. Name one time when they pulled in the funeral director to challenge the testimony of a coroner. Please find it for me. So, thirsty to say that Trayvon Martin, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. They go to a funeral director. You never do that. It's never been done unless you're trying to promote a storyline. And you suggest that it's important new evidence from a funeral director. And now this nigga lied. That's right, I'm sorry. You're a nigga. Because you wanted to comfort the family. You wanted to be a part of the rigmarole. The popularity of this story. You were trying to get a little notoriety for your, maybe your fledgling funeral home. JC, let's find out whether or not this man's about to file for bankruptcy. Let's get a microscope in that rectum. Let's find out if this Sanford, Florida, or Miami, Florida, wherever the hell he's from, let's find out whether or not this guy's got a struggling business. Maybe he wanted to get a few plugs in.
Trayvon, he ain't have no bruises on his knuckles. Well, we just taking care of that. We do it all for you. If you got a dead family member, come on down to Skippy's. We do funerals right.
We can plug up bullet holes.
We plug up bullet holes. That's how we get down. Over here at Skippy's. Or Smitty's. I like Smitty better. Smitty's funeral home.
You are one twisted individual.
Ha ha! Come on!
Okay, hold on. First off, let me start at the beginning.
Well, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I got.
Oh, you're not done?
Oh, hell no, I ain't done yet.
I'm gonna. You know what? I got something for a little bit of every point you've made.
I'm gonna give you and Kool-Aid Man the next half hour. I won't say a word. I won't even challenge anything. I will
Good.
Let you guys spew. I'm gonna give Good. You guys 30 minutes to run this town like Jay-Z,
Good
Rihanna,
ABC,
and Kanye.
CBS, NBC. That's your new name.
Yeah, that's okay. But let me finish, because I'm not done.
Finish up.
Let me finish up. And we'll go to a break. Okay, so, CBS News. They go to a funeral director. Lying-ass nigga. Funeral director. Okay? So let's go now to ABC News yesterday. ABC News yesterday. Now, I won't even tell you what to look for. I want to see whether or not you two recognize something. I want you to recognize something. I want you to be as objective as you can in critiquing Matt Gutman's news report on George Zimmerman from yesterday. And I want you to tell me where the flaws are in his reporting. I won't tell you where. I won't tell you where. You just find them. Because trust me, they smell of them. Here's Matt Gutman.
Tonight, for the very first time, a medical report exclusively obtained by ABC News is revealing the full extent of George Zimmerman's injuries after his deadly confrontation with Trayvon Martin. A broken nose, two black eyes, gashes on the back of his head. All this from the doctor who treated Zimmerman the morning after the shooting.
There's no question these documented injuries help Zimmerman's case, but the fundamental legal question remains, who was the aggressor?
aggressor. Zimmerman claims that Martin attacked him that night and that he only shot the unarmed 17-year-old because he feared for his own life as Martin bashed his head into the concrete. Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder. He has pleaded not guilty and insists he acted in self-defense. The report also reveals new details about Zimmerman's state of mind the morning after the shooting. Zimmerman telling his doctor he suffered from nausea when thinking about what happened. His doctor writes that it's imperative that Zimmerman see his psychologist. But questions remain. Zimmerman declined to go to the hospital the night of the shooting, and video of him in the Sanford police station less than an hour after the shooting shows no visible evidence of blood on his shirt and jacket. And he seems steady on his feet. We asked emergency physician Vidor Friedman to analyze this enhanced video of Zimmerman barely an hour after the shooting.
If he had a significant abrasion, I think we'd see that on this film. I don't see anything else.
But at the trial, all of this could come down to who instigated the fight. If George Zimmerman started the altercation, and then he's losing the fight and fears for his life, he does not have the legal right at that point to use deadly force. Zimmerman is still in hiding. He's living off the $200,000 he solicited on his website. Now, get this. The money is still rolling in at a rate of about $1,000 a day.
All right, that's Matt Gutman's new report on the evidence that came out and suggested. Bruises on the back of his head, soreness in the back, two black eyes, bloody nose, an abrasion on his lip. They neglect to even mention that Trayvon Martin had bruises on his knuckles, but O'Reilly tonight mentioned that. And in fact, not only was it, did it come out of the Florida news station, it was confirmed that Trayvon Martin from the coroner had bruises on the upper part of his knuckle. That is right before the back of the between the knuckle that comes after the wrist. That, those, that portion of his knuckles, that there were bruises on him that suggest that there was a fight. Although Dan Abrams from ABC News is right, is that then it's a determination of who started the fight. And if George Zimmerman started the fight and Trayvon got the better of him, then of course, then self-defense does not apply. And I'm clearly suggesting that that is an accurate look at this case. But we'll take a break because I ran long. We'll take a break. And first, we'll go into where it is that you guys found the flaws. I'll play it again when we come back from the break and see if you can find the flaws in Matt Gutman's reporting of the new evidence and what exactly he did that was so wrong. When we return. So stick around. We'll be right back. And again, like I said and I promised, JC the producer, Kool-Aid Man, they will get full reign in the half an hour. And I will just let them go off. I'll probably interject here and there. But we'll find out when we come back into Resona Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Resona Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those.
at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
All right, 33 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday, May the 16th, 2012. My brother sent me a nice message yesterday telling me thank you very much. Sent his love. He was happy to know that we celebrated his birthday. As I always do, I never forget his birthday. He's forgotten mine a couple of times, but I'm not going to hold it against him. I still love him. He's my brother. He's my brother. I don't know that song. I just know that part of it.
Yeah, you do. Everybody knows that song.
I just know that part of the song.
Really?
Yeah, I just know. I just know. I like singing that part. He's my brother. It's very silly. Anyway, okay, so I promised you guys, you get the second half of the break. I'm going to play the audio again. ABC News reports on the new Zimmerman evidence and see whether or not you can break down where the mistakes are and what it is that they did in this case that was so wrong. Okay, it's a minute, 51 seconds. We'll let you listen to it one more time, and then for the rest of the half, of this, the bottom of the hour, JC and Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, will break it down for you. You don't need me.
They may need me. But then I'll explain it to them.
Tonight, for the very first time, a medical report exclusively obtained by ABC News is revealing the full extent of George Zimmerman's injuries after his deadly confrontation with Trayvon Martin. A broken nose, two black eyes, gashes on the back of his head. All this from the doctor who treated Zimmerman the morning after the shooting.
There's no question these documented injuries help Zimmerman's case. But the fundamental legal question remains, who was the aggressor?
Zimmerman claims that Martin attacked him that night and that he only shot the unarmed 17-year-old because he feared for his own life as Martin bashed his head into the concrete. Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder. He has pleaded not guilty and insists he acted in self-defense. The report also reveals new details about Zimmerman's state of mind the morning after the shooting. Zimmerman telling his doctor he suffered from nausea when thinking about what happened. His doctor writes that it's imperative that Zimmerman see his psychologist. But questions remain. Zimmerman declined to go to the hospital the night of the shooting, and video of him in the Sanford police station less than an hour after the shooting shows no visible evidence of blood on his shirt and jacket. And he seems steady on his feet. We asked emergency physician Vidor Friedman to analyze this enhanced video of Zimmerman barely an hour after the shooting.
If he had a significant abrasion, I think we'd see that on this film. I don't see anything, though.
But at the trial, all of this could come down to who instigated the fight.
If George Zimmerman started the altercation, and then he's losing the fight and fears for his life, he does not have the legal right at that point to use deadly force.
Zimmerman is still in hiding. He's living off the $200,000 he solicited on his website. Now, get this, the money is still rolling in at a rate of about $1,000 a day.
Okay. Let's let our intrepid crew analyze that, and we'll go to JC, who's been desperate to respond to this. JC, go right ahead, and we'll put James in as well. Go on. So can you find out where the problem is in Matt Gutman's recent reporting?
Not really.
Okay.
I've kind of dismissed a great deal of what I'm hearing from a lot of these news sources. Me personally, I've now gone to the point where I need to hear it on at least three different networks and hear pretty much the same narrative before I would believe that narrative to be true.
That they're following a narrative?
Or not so much that they're following, because everybody tends to report it somewhat different.
From their angle. Okay, fair enough.
Right.
I'll let you go there. Okay. So,
now,
what's your analysis of this so far?
Okay. In defense of Maxine Waters, a congressman on the floor, as well as your pal Sharpton, they made their statements based on the information and evidence that they had at the time of the case. Everybody did.
They had no information.
Right. We had none. We could only go by the information that was given, what was currently out there in the public. And what was reported by the police by the different networks,
right?
So nobody really had no information to go on, and it seems like more and more keeps coming out about this case.
So the picture's
starting to become clear,
right? But you do concur that they did jump the gun. Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, Frederica Wilson.
Everyone jumped the gun on this.
Okay,
one.
Fair enough.
I don't think that everyone would have jumped the gun. Had there not been an uproar about the situation, because had there not been an uproar, when George Zimmerman was released from the police department at night without being charged, we'd still be sitting at that situation today.
Okay.
He would have not gotten charged with this.
Okay. James?
Hold on.
I'm sorry, JC, you're not done. I apologize.
No. The funeral director. Unless he's known Trayvon Martin prior to the incident, he would not have known that he's had bruises on his knuckles. Because bruises, I didn't hear anything about contusions. I heard bruises.
Right.
And knowing anything about forensics, and I'm not calling myself a forensics expert, but I did watch the OJ trial. After rigor mortis had set in, or when it begins to set in, the blood that's in the body then rushes down to the part of the body that's closest to the floor. When if he's laying on his back,
right,
that would be the backside of his body. So if he had bruises in his knuckles
in which we all know that when you get bruised, blood rushes to that area, and that will make it very visible. But the funeral director didn't get the body until a couple of days later, so the rigor mortis is already set in.
So you're saying that he had no, he clearly could not have.
No, he shouldn't have made a statement at all because he could not have known him unless he had known him prior to that.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So you are suggesting that when I called him a lying ass nigga, he was a lying ass nigga.
No. That's not necessarily. No, he went by what he saw.
He's lying.
He went by what he saw. I mean, you can't argue gravity and the laws of physics.
But is it evidence?
No, they call it evidence.
Right.
The news reporter called it evidence.
But that's a narrative. They're setting a tone.
By the news people, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. So wait. He doesn't. The funeral director doesn't get an opportunity to say, hey, listen, this doesn't mean that he wasn't bruised, but a narrative is being placed by the news reporter who just takes a clip of what the funeral director says and then says, oh, I didn't see any bruises. There were no bruises there that were visible to me, therefore suggesting, he didn't fight back.
You're right. That's a possibility. Exactly.
All right, fair. Go on.
As far as government and the others alike, there is no excuse for what the media has done with this case. We all know that it sells stories. It's all about commercial dollars.
Let's not forget Matt Gutman tweeted on March 13th that George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin because he was black. This is a news report.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they got to do what they do. They do what they do to sell papers. And he, like everyone else, is entitled to their opinion. But as far as this last police report, I mean, the last report that just came out with Gutman, I have no real issues with what he said. Like I said, but I don't give it any credence at all.
Okay.
Unless I hear it from, like I said, and I usually go with, if I hear it from Fox, if I hear from CNN, and if I hear from CBS, which is my station,
okay,
or if I read it, and they're selling the same story, then I would go to it to be potentially fact.
Okay. All right. James can go now?
No. One more second.
Oh, come on.
And if George Zimmerman approached this kid, and if the kid felt that he was threatened, given George's own knowledge of stand your ground laws, he should have taken that ass whooping like a man and then recalled the police because he's pretty obviously good at it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
I'll respond to that later. James, go
ape.
Go ape. It's yours right now.
All right. Well, let's just getting on what JC said about the reporting of the case and what you take away from it. From day one, I have never put too much credence in what people were telling me, especially within the media, because, again, the media are there to tell stories, all right? It has to be packaged in some way, shape, or form, all right? Any reporting has a narrative. Anything that you do, anytime you try to get your point across, there is a narrative. Everyone has one.
It's the new journalism. You're right.
It's not even the new journalism. It's not new journalism. It's not new journalism. It's not old journalism. It's just what is. Everyone has a narrative. Everyone has a point of view, and they try to push that point of view.
But
Otherwise, you have no storytelling whatsoever.
But you concede that that shouldn't be the case. They should just tell the case and leave it at that, right?
Well, in a perfect world, but when has this world ever been?
I just wanted to hear whether or not you thought that they should be objective or not, even though you're suggesting that everyone has a narrative, it shouldn't be. They should be objective. You do agree with that?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, all right, go on. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get into that part. Go ahead.
Now, as far as that goes, I go by how I was raised and something that I've read in a book. And actually been told by other people, never believe anything you hear and only half of what you see.
Okay.
So I've always taken, I take anything that I either hear or see with a grain of salt until I get what is, for me, the full story, at least as much as I can. And I do try to get different sources so I can at least piece together something.
But even you said, James, and I do remember, that with all the evidence that I displayed on this show, you did concede that one time on the show that you finally came to terms that this was not racial. This was not racially motivated. You finally
I did not. No, I did not say that. I said what
yes,
I had
you
said,
did.
And I will
yes,
say it
you
again.
Did.
Excuse me. What I said and what I will say again.
Go ahead.
Is that even though I do believe this is a racial case, calling
Stephen
a racist be the case.
I apologize. You're absolutely right. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. I really do, because you're right.
Please get that right.
No. I James, I'm conceding. I apologize. That is exactly what it is that you said. You did say that. You said you are not saying that this case wasn't racial because there are components of racism in this, but George Zimmerman does not play a factor into that as opposed to what other people are doing associated with this. And I'm conceding that you are right. That is what you said.
Thank you. As I said, now, getting back to what I was saying about taking my own take on this, the fact of the matter is, again, this case, and I've said it before anyone else did, that this case is going to hinge on who started a fight. Because
right.
I have said that George Zimmerman's own words are going to hang him. They're going to hang him. Because if you go back to the tape, the most damning part is the fact that he says that Trayvon Martin is running away from him.
Okay.
And he gets out of the car and starts to chase him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, at one point, you cannot say someone is going to attack, someone attacked you if they're running away from you. It doesn't make sense.
Because I was
sorry.
I'm listening. No. That was Mary. Mary was saying something else. I'm listening to you. I apologize.
Right.
Go on.
It doesn't make sense how, you know, no one runs away from you and then turns around and then comes back to attack you.
Okay,
just,
You have an issue with that. Okay, I've got issues with that as well. Like,
right.
if he runs, why would he in any way then approach him? Because running would suggest fear or apprehension, you know. Yeah, you're absolutely right there.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not a guy who's trying to kill you.
Okay, all right. I'll suggest that, you know, nobody – I wouldn't suggest that Trayvon Martin was trying to kill him. In no way did I ever –
Well, he said he feared for his life.
No. I'm saying that, well, George Zimmerman may have feared for his life, but we can't ascertain from Trayvon Martin beating him that Trayvon wanted to kill him. That's an interpretation that only George Zimmerman's interpretation, he can't read the mind of Trayvon Martin when Trayvon Martin is whipping his ass. Okay.
He can't
be in his mind. All he knows is that he's losing.
He can't. But he did say he was in fear for his life. Still, again,
right.
It doesn't add up.
Well, no, you can be in fear for your life.
Wait a minute. Hold on, man. You said you were going to give me the floor.
I am, but I said I would interject at times. Go on.
Okay. Now, that was one thing. And it goes even farther because after he starts chasing him, he is told not to. He says, okay. Now, allegedly, he stops. And again, his own words are going to hang himself because once he stops, he says he's walking back to where he's going to be meeting or where the cops should meet him so he can give his statement.
Right.
He also says that he can't see Trayvon anywhere.
All right.
I don't even know where this kid is.
Right.
His own words.
Right.
This is not a mess. Again. No self-defense. There's no attack. He's not even around unless you went looking for him.
Hold on. That's
come on.
You're alleging that. You're alleging that Trayvon Martin.
How am I alleging? If the guy is nowhere to be found, and then all of a sudden.
No. He's not nowhere to be found. It means George Zimmerman
can't find him. He doesn't know where he is.
I'm not disputing that, James. But he says that when he gets back towards it, well, he's coming back. He says Trayvon approaches him. We can't decide or allege whether or not that did or did not happen. There are no witnesses to suggest it or to disprove it.
Okay. right.
Okay, go on. I'm giving you right. 10. You got 10. You've right. already had 7 minutes. You got another 10.
You said, hey, all right. Well, I'm going to use all. I'm going to use them all.
So trust me, I know you are.
All right. So, again, it doesn't add up. Now, where he said he was going to be was not where he was found or where the altercation took place. So somebody moved somewhere, and as JC said, Trayvon Martin did not have the wherewithal to drag this man to where he was. So somehow or another, George Zimmerman moved from where he said he was going to be.
I don't think that's an accurate depiction of what happened. But, I mean,
really?
it can be alleged. I can deal with that you're alleging it. But I don't think there's anything that in any way suggests that. But that has to be broken down in a court. Go on.
All right, that has to be broken down in a court. And, again, it's going to hinge on who started a fight. Now, everyone keeps saying that or alluding to the fact that since he has abrasions and things of that nature, that somehow George Zimmerman has more credence than Trayvon Martin. Well, that's very easy to say, because Trayvon Martin is no longer alive to counter that.
Okay. Right, of course.
Like everybody's tripping over themselves. Okay, yeah, he may have bruises and contusions, and Trayvon Martin may only have bruises on his knuckles, but that only says that there was a fight. It doesn't prove anything else but the fact that there was a fight. Period.
James,
but we've already known that.
James, that's just a casualty of war that Trayvon isn't here to defend that. You know, it's, you know.
Casualty.
Look,
casualty.
No offense, buddy, you died. So you don't, right now, you have no right to.
So you don't get a, right to, so what? You died, all right? The fact is, George Zimmerman was losing, so you can kill someone, and if he'd have survived, he'd be what?
If he survived, then we would have one word against the other. But, you know, that's not this case, so we can't, you know, come on. We're right now, we're only assuming of what Trayvon would say. You know, we only have George Zimmerman's word, and that's what it is that we're going to have to go with.
Right, and of course, right, and George Zimmerman's word, and George Zimmerman is looking at some time in jail, a considerable amount of time in jail. So there, it's like he's not even questioned on the veracity of his statements, because he's not going to say, well, you know what, I just felt like shooting him.
Oh, okay. All right, dude.
He's not going to say that.
Why would he?
Thank you.
Why would he? If I may, James. I want to do this because I think it's important that you guys listen to this again, and I'm going to tell you where the problem in Matt Gutman's reporting was. And I'm stunned that you guys didn't see it. Because I think I caught it.
I think I pretty much caught it, but go on.
Do you want to try again before I play it, and I'll break it down to you?
No. I'd have to hear it again.
Okay, so I'll play it again. I'll let you tell me where the problem in this reporting was and why Matt Gutman, honest to goodness, should not be covering this case anymore. He should not be covering this case anymore. Because to me, it was probably the most ridiculous thing that any reporter should and does in this particular case with Trayvon Martin trying to promote a narrative, a storyline. So pause for me for 1 second and just listen.
Tonight, for the very first time, a medical report exclusively obtained by ABC News is revealing the full extent of George Zimmerman's injuries after his deadly confrontation with Trayvon Martin. A broken nose, two black eyes, gashes on the back of his head. All this from the doctor who treated Zimmerman the morning after the shooting. There's no question these documented injuries help Zimmerman's case. But the fundamental legal question remains, who was the aggressor? Zimmerman claims that Martin attacked him that night and that he only shot the unarmed 17-year-old because he feared for his own life as Martin bashed his head into the concrete. Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder. He has pleaded not guilty and insists he acted in self-defense. The report also reveals new details about Zimmerman's state of mind the morning after the shooting. Zimmerman telling his doctor he suffered from nausea when thinking about what happened. His doctor writes that it's imperative that Zimmerman see his psychologist. But questions remain. Zimmerman declined to go to the hospital the night of the shooting, and video of him in the Sanford police station less than an hour after the shooting shows no visible evidence of blood on his shirt and jacket. And he seems steady on his feet. We asked emergency physician Vidor Friedman to analyze this enhanced video of Zimmerman barely an hour after the shooting.
If he had a significant abrasion, I think we'd see that on this film. I don't see anything, though.
But at the trial, all of this could come down to who instigated the fight. If George Zimmerman started the altercation, and then he's losing the fight and fears for his life, he does not have the legal right at that point to use deadly force. Zimmerman is still in hiding. He's living off the $200,000 he solicited on his website. Now, get this. The money is still rolling in at a rate of about $1,000 a day.
Okay. JC, I will let you go. Tell me what it is that you hear that's wrong with the reporting here.
What I think you're going to find that's wrong with, what I think you're going to find that's wrong with this reporting is that he reports that Zimmerman declined to go to the emergency room, and that about then that about the doctor stating he was steady on his feet, and when we do now have evidence that he did go to the hospital the morning after.
Okay, you got one.
Now let me add one. Well,
the fact that he's receiving about $1,000 a day.
No, that's not it. But
no.
You're definitely talking about JC, you said the fact that he didn't seem like he was dizzy or, you know, like he had walking around suffering a bruise of, like he was disoriented or
right,
dizzy.
Like he had a concussion or something.
Right, exactly. Okay. All
this
right.
Hasn't been reported.
You got one. You got one. James, do you wish to try again?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Before you go into your spiel.
Well, I'm only going to do 2 minutes before the top of the hour, because I got more to report on this. But go ahead.
Okay. He reported that Zimmerman declined to go to the hospital at the time of the incident. Obviously, if you got black eyes, broken nose, busted nose, big gash in your head, you would go to the hospital. That's if you had that at that time. Now, my question is, what happened between the time that he got interviewed and the time he went to the emergency room the next morning? There's hours between that. If I was an attorney, I would argue, hell, he could have done that to himself, because he's a man that's now murdered somebody and has to basically cover his own ass. That would be my argument.
I'm glad you brought that argument up. So let me take these 2 minutes to break that down to you.
Okay.
First of all, George Zimmerman stayed at the police department until
mm-hmm.
the early morning hours of the 27th of February. We do know that, JC, don't we?
We know that, but we don't have time.
The shooting, the shooting took place at 7:17, right?
Right.
George Zimmerman went to the police station 40 minutes after the shooting. Is that correct?
Yep.
We're going into 8 o'clock. George Zimmerman was there to the early morning hours of the 27th and went to see a doctor that morning.
Okay, now that
so
could
wait,
be
wait,
two
wait.
Minutes after. That could be two
That's
minutes
fine.
After midnight.
That's fine. No. Actually, the early morning hours. They're talking somewhere late in the like 2-3 o'clock hours. That was actually
well,
revealed
that's
at the hearing.
That's just
no,
that
no.
They didn't
that was
say
revealed.
That.
That was revealed at the hearing. His bond hearing. It was revealed at his bond hearing.
So then we do was, have a time out there. On
yeah,
the
we do have
somewhere.
A time. Yes. And so he goes
okay.
to the police. He goes to see his doctor the next morning. Okay, you're right. He could have been bruised up on his own. We've seen that before. Somebody could have bruised himself up. But that's not the issue here. Here's where it
We don't
up.
Know that, but go ahead.
No, we don't. You know, you're absolutely right. We don't know that. And it's not like he wouldn't do it, but, you know, that aside, here's the problem. Why is Matt Gutman talking about George Zimmerman's state of mind after the shooting and saying that that George Zimmerman was told to see his psychiatrist after? It is this. It is to suggest, and he used the word, his psychiatrist. And he used the word his psychiatrist to suggest that George Zimmerman had a history of mental illness of some sort. It's not necessary for anybody to bring that up, that he is suggested to see. Of course he should see somebody after he just killed the person, but see his psychiatrist, and the suggestion to bring it up in that report is to suggest that George Zimmerman had mental illness. That's one. Two, no visible blood on his body. Why is Matt Gutman still talking about no visible blood? The last report I played for you guys, in the last report, Matt Gutman said he didn't have any in the beginning. He's got no bruises whatsoever. But then the enhanced video showed that he did have bruises. But Matt Gutman's going right back to saying he has no bruises on his body. I mean, no blood on his body. To suggest, oh, yeah, he had a black eye. Yes, he had a bloody nose. Yes, he had a contusion on his leg. But it wasn't significant enough that he got blood on his body. So it's promoting another narrative. And here's the most important, as you said, not only did they say he didn't show any dizziness or incoherence, they brought in a special person to look at the video of George Zimmerman getting out of the police car. And that person says, yeah, he doesn't look like he's not coherent. He doesn't mention the fact that it's 40 minutes after the shooting. That would have given him an opportunity to regain consciousness. It doesn't mean that he didn't suffer a concussion. Anybody remember when Kobe Bryant got hit by during the All-Star game by Dwayne Wade, and he suffered a concussion when he bruised his nose and he had to wear that plastic mask for a week? He suffered a concussion and he played the next game. So what are you doing? Why is Matt Gutman reporting this? Because, again, they can't let go of the fact that they've already found George Zimmerman guilty, and they still want to promote that.
Okay, that's now, wait a minute.
Wait, let me go to the top of the hour. I will let you guys back into this, all right? We got to stick with the program. We got to make sure that we go back to the top of the hour. It's Reason Radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Alpha.
Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog. He was shot in the street. He was racially profiled.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little man in the streets of white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Into it. Reese on the radio, 4 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday, May the 16th, 2012, on Blog Talk Radio. Let's let the guys back in before we play the audio of the lawyer, Mr. Crump, who is representing the Trayvon Martin family. We're going to play that in the next couple of minutes, but I'll let you guys finish up. JC, what were you saying about what it is that I just said about the Trayvon Martin, or pardon me, the Matt Gutman report? Did I lose you?
Wow.
Okay, maybe we lost him. James? Am I wrong there about that, about the Matt Gutman report? Oh, sorry, I put James on hold and not
with
Jason.
With the,
James, start over. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Okay, with the whole psychiatrist thing, that is a slippery slope. I don't understand why that was reported. So on that part, I have to throw that over to you. That was a move. It had nothing to do with the story.
Yeah, exactly. Except
give him an out.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he need to see a psychiatrist after killing somebody? You know, but to make it sound like he was forced to see or suggested to see his psychiatrist puts this psychosis thing into the mix. You're throwing it in there because you want people to say, oh, he had a psychiatrist? Oh, he was deranged. You know how people are going to take that story. With the way that they've been
I can see it was a little. Well, as I said, I'm going to concede that fact. All right, because it really didn't have anything really to do with the story, at least in my opinion. And the fact that it was just suggested by an officer or
some analyst who's a pro that says, oh, he doesn't look incoherent, he doesn't look like he's dizzy, you know, and Matt Gutman pushing that same thing, no blood on his body. You know, look, the autopsy of Trayvon Martin and the medical report of George Zimmerman is by a professional who will lose his license, by the way, if he lies on those documents. He'll lose his license if he does. That funeral director is not going to lose his license for lying about Trayvon Martin. But a doctor, he'll lose his license for that report.
Now, the funeral director, I mean, you know, the fact that the funeral director is not really looking for bruises anyway.
Exactly.
And Trayvon Martin is black. How do you tell? You know? Bruises are usually caused, they don't stay around long after you're dead.
But the coroner had the body the day he died. You know what I'm saying? And the coroner, again, if the coroner lies, the coroner will lose his license. You know, so
funeral director, he only got the body, I mean, afterwards, right? After the fact.
Exactly. After
a couple of days afterwards. So he might not have saw anything. So you can't actually call him a liar. Why he was consulted at all, that's the question. But I can't, you know, you can't really say he's a liar because at the time when he got the body, you know, there's no more blood left, you know, and it's not flowing anywhere. It might not have been visible.
That may be the case, but I still think he's a liar.
Why he was consulted? That's the big question.
Yeah, exactly. Why was he consulted by news media? That knows better than that they have to wait for a coroner's report.
Well, because if they have to wait, then they have no story. They don't get on
but
the
it shouldn't
air.
Be.
They have to have something. That's just like, you know, when, you know, a guy goes on a murder spree and you talk to his next door neighbors. And, you know, everybody else who really doesn't have anything to do with it, his sixth grade teacher, there's always somebody who's got an opinion. And there's somebody you can keep on camera to keep the story going.
Yeah, but you don't use the words new evidence.
Yeah.
That's my whole point. It's like you don't suggest that it's new evidence when you know that it's not evidence.
Nothing more than
construed. Exactly. It can't be construed as evidence because you have not talked to the coroner. And this is a network, as many others were, fishing for information, willing to take it out of context to promote the fact that Trayvon Martin was not an aggressor in any way and George Zimmerman was guilty.
Well, okay. I mean, the fact of the matter
is, you heard the report yourself.
True, I've heard the report, but again, really, at this point, at that point, it really didn't matter what anybody else says, because clearly, Trayvon Martin was not an aggressor. He wasn't. He had nothing to be aggressive over. Nothing.
Well, he may have not had a reason in the beginning to be an aggressor, but we don't know what happened.
The reason.
Yeah, nobody, exactly. It's a good, great question, Mary.
What?
Who needs to be an aggressor?
Well, no, who needs a reason?
Who needs a reason to be an aggressor? Nobody needs a reason. Circumstances make you an aggressor, not reason.
Yeah, circumstances. And in those circumstances, thank you, I'm glad you said that, because in those circumstances, clearly, Trayvon Martin had more of a right to be in fear for his life than George Zimmerman did.
Clearly, James, how is that clear?
Well, it's clear because the other fact that Trayvon Martin was in a place where he was supposed to be. You know, it wasn't like he was in someone else's neighborhood. This was his father's neighborhood. You can't say that. He had every right to be there. He had no weapons. He had nothing to do with anything. Right? All he was doing was standing outside, and he's being watched. He's being, you know, clearly something made him nervous about George Zimmerman.
I'm not disputing that, but that doesn't mean that he was nervous because he thought or knew that George Zimmerman had a gun.
No, but the thing is, you don't give a stranger the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know anything about Trayvon Martin. About George Zimmerman. Anything at all.
And George Zimmerman doesn't know anything about Trayvon that suggests that he's not a person casing homes.
Well, you know, then if that's the case, you know, no one can stand outside of their house.
Good point.
I'm not suggesting that, James. I'm saying this circumstance is one of those things where there were things happenstance. That's all this is. There were other situations in George Zimmerman's life in his community that took place, which led to this altercation and this belief that someone was robbing. As the report said in Reuters, that extensive report, prelude to a shooting. The story that Reuters did about George Zimmerman and went back to the whole neighborhood and talked to witnesses in the neighborhood where they spoke to black women. And there's one black woman in the community. And one black woman said to the Reuters reporter and leaned over to him and said, listen, let's talk about the elephant in the room. There were black people robbing our houses in this neighborhood. There were black people that were coming into people's houses. One woman was in her house with her six-month-old baby while her husband was at work. And these two men came into her home. The woman ran upstairs into her son's bedroom and called the police and had to whisper she was scared for her life and didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. These men brazenly walked into her home. George Zimmerman's wife was home taking an online course. When he got home, that woman, When he heard about that woman and what she had to do, that horrible tale, he gave that woman his number and said, this is my wife. My wife is home some days. If you ever feel fearful again, you contact my wife and you go over there. In fact, go to my wife's house and go stay over there on the days that you're by yourself and you're ever afraid. This woman had her house broken into. And by the way, there were witnesses who saw the guys who broke into that woman's house. And they saw young black men breaking into her house, stealing her stuff, and running out through the back way. There was a black woman, several black women, who said that neighborhood, because of the housing crisis, a lot of houses went underwater, and houses were foreclosed on, and a lot of people had moved out because the crime had gotten so bad. There were people in the neighborhood. And that black woman who said to Reuters, let me make this clear to you. Black people were robbing our house. And when the police were called and George Zimmerman came up and was having that town hall meeting and the police officers were there and they were asking for somebody to be the captain of the neighborhood watch, George Zimmerman volunteered because no one else would. Okay? So Trayvon Martin puts himself in a position, not by his
How did he get himself in a position?
I'm going to explain it to you. Let me explain. George Zimmerman is leaving the gated community, going out to go shopping. He sees Trayvon. He believes that Trayvon's acting suspicious. And he didn't have any right to suggest it. But think about what's on George Zimmerman's mind after all of the stories that he's hearing in his neighborhood with the police being involved. All of that stuff. That's in the back of your mind every day. Your wife could have been the person who was home when those people broke into her house. Your wife could have been assaulted, raped, killed. You got a woman with a baby, and those sons of bitches didn't care. And that woman had to run up to her room and lock the door and call the police. She was alone and scared.
Mm-hmm.
And there were neighbors in that town who were getting robbed repeatedly. And that's going through this guy's mind. And he sees this young black man, 6'3", walking around the neighborhood, no matter what it was that he was doing. And then what does the guy do when he sees somebody stalking him, as everyone likes to put it? He runs. And George Zimmerman knows that everybody who's been robbed in that neighborhood, not one person has been caught. And this one was running. George Zimmerman had finally caught one. In his mind.
Yourself,
no,
right?
No, in his mind, James.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that it was right, but in his mind. He had one in his sights. His state of mind. Okay? And Trayvon runs.
Trayvon runs. Okay.
He doesn't run home.
All right, now this is what I'm talking about. All right, now, coming back from this, and again, you're right, George Zimmerman doesn't have any right to, you know, doesn't know this, all right? However, all right, all he saw, again, in George Zimmerman's own words, he never said anything about if he was looking in people's windows or anything like that. All he said was he was standing there, oh, no, he said lurking. He said lurking in front of people's houses. He didn't even know which house it was his father's, all right? Nothing, okay? That's, again, he couldn't know that. However, all right, now I've lost my train of thought. Okay.
His father's fiancé, by the way.
His
father's fiancé, by the way.
Oh, his father's fiancé. Well, was he there with his father?
Yeah, no, I'm not disputing that, but it was his father's fiancé's home.
Okay. All right. It could have been his house.
It wasn't. George Zimmerman...
Again, Here's something that doesn't make sense to me, because if the man only had, he was found with nothing more than an iced tea and a bag of Skittles or whatever it was, but nothing incriminating at all, and for some reason he looks around and he notices George Zimmerman somehow, some way. This is the part that confuses me. Because if he notices George Zimmerman and then just runs, and he wasn't doing anything wrong, why'd he run? And what was George Zimmerman doing to make himself so noticeable?
Well, hold on. James, we've gone through this a dozen times. George Zimmerman stops his car. He stays on the phone with police. He says that Trayvon's walking towards him. George Zimmerman stays on the phone with police. Trayvon Martin, according to George Zimmerman, is looking at him, and then he runs. George Zimmerman gets out of his car and pursues him. He says that these bastards or these punks, whatever he says, he always get away. He follows him. The police dispatcher recognizes that George Zimmerman is out of breath. He hears his voice. Are you following him? He says, yes. He says, we don't need you to do that. He says, okay, acknowledges it. The phone call ends at some particular point after he describes all this place where he needs, where the police need to meet him. This, again, flies in the face that he was insisting on pursuing him because he's telling the police officer where to meet him and where to go. He's literally laying out directions into the complex. And then George Zimmerman says he's confronted by Trayvon, and they get into a scuffle. So again, this was all a matter of circumstance. So with all of that being said, that gets me right back to the Matt Gutman story. Matt Gutman and the press, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, and NBC. And this is the reason why you haven't seen the story reported on for weeks. Is because the one thing that they recognize after they find it out, oh, by the way, did you know that George Zimmerman's mother's grandfather is black? Not that that's important. He's got black people in his family real deep. Yeah, new photos of the George Zimmerman background family. Oh, yeah, they're dark as hell.
And I said before, you know what, you don't have to be, you know, pure white to be racist, okay? A lot of people don't like their own race. That's, I mean, come on. There are black people who don't like black people.
Yeah, I don't like them either. Anyway, my
case in point. All right? So, please, just let us, just because he has some black in his family doesn't make him Martin Luther King.
I just want to make that note. Yeah, yeah. He hates blacks so much, he'll tutor their children. Real, real racist, George Zimmerman.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, you know, just let's get off the race component. No, not even that, the race component. Let's just stop saying that racism is only between black and white. All right?
Right, you're absolutely right. But anyway, let me finish. Okay, with all of that I just said, and the circumstances which led to the shooting, with everything that happened to George Zimmerman and his community, okay, his next-door neighbor with a six-month-old child, okay, and then he's getting to the circumstance where a kid runs, and he's already got this suspicion about people who've been breaking into homes because it's been rampant. They're talking about 14 robberies in a year, James. I'm wrong with that number because I know it's more. It's more than 14 in a calendar year. But it's been a lot.
I thought it was 19.
Yeah, in fact, thank you, JC. It was 19 in a calendar year, which would mean more than one a month. Okay? And the fact that there were people who were witnessing black guys, and they're not saying there were white guys, there were black guys running into that. Sadly enough, that's what it was. Black guys were breaking in the homes. And George Zimmerman is alerting the neighborhood, as the police are alerting the neighborhood. You got to be careful. You got to arm yourself. You got to do something to protect yourself. And Trayvon Martin, unfortunately, comes into a situation where there's already high tension about robberies. So all it was a matter of circumstance. That's all it ever was a matter of circumstance. It wasn't to do with anything about this stalking him or hunting him down like a dog. It had nothing to do with that. And the evidence has proved it. But the ABC and Matt Gutman, they cannot let it go. They need people to convict George Zimmerman. And they need it to be about race. They need it to be about an unarmed teen being black and George Zimmerman having a disregard for his skin color, thinking that he was a thug. They must promote black people as victims. And Trayvon Martin must be their victim. Okay? He must be their victim.
Okay. Now that you said that, to say that he doesn't have a problem with race, that's a false statement. Regardless of how he feels that a particular ethnic set of people or individuals treat him, for him to generalize him like he did leaving Virginia, he didn't say no one individual. He couldn't wait to get away from the Mexicans. Because every one of them is looking to rob you. And that's what he said.
So?
Those are his words. So he's generalizing a whole race for the actions of a few.
But that's Mexicans.
As well.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, I'm saying that's Mexicans. They ain't got nothing to do with a black kid.
No, but he has racial issues. He has racist issues.
Who doesn't? JC, you got racial issues.
I have mine. You're right. I have mine, but you know what? I'm not looking to shoot and kill any of them either.
Okay.
I don't have a criminal record. I can get a gun. Connecticut, they're pretty easy.
But you don't see me. You don't see me out trying to walk the halls of my building trying to protect people. And I understand they needed that there. They needed that there. But my argument will go back to and will always remain until we go to court and this is decided, somebody needs to explain the distance from that car to that ass whooping. And that's something that nobody is confronting. You breathe over it as if it doesn't exist, as if it was feet away from each other, and that's not the case.
Well, you know what? You might be somewhat right that's important, but
it's very important to shoot your
narrative. Wait a minute. Somewhat right. It is important because it goes to whether he was the aggressor or not. Because if he was just standing around waiting for the police, then you have to say Trayvon came back and accosted him.
Are you telling me that didn't happen?
Well, you're telling us that it did?
Again, it doesn't make sense. I'm not saying it doesn't make
sense.
You're
saying, no, your reason for saying that there's no way he could have come back is because Trayvon ran, as if to suggest that Trayvon was fearful, right?
Well, that's why you run. Now, whether he was guilty about something or anything, he was still running away.
Who runs and plans a crime?
James, hold on. No, I didn't say that. Now, nobody said that Trayvon was committing a crime. I didn't suggest that.
Well, you were saying he was planning to commit a crime if he was planning to
jump
on the bush and attack
him. That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
No, that's not what you said, but that's what you're implying.
No, I don't have to imply, JC. You know me better than that. I'll just say what's on my mind. I don't imply crap. What I'm saying is, here's what I believe. I believe that Trayvon sees a guy in a car. He can't discern whether or not George Zimmerman is a big, bulky guy or whether or not like he's a tough guy or he's some whatever. George Zimmerman gets out of his car. He's 5'8". Trayvon, he's 6'3".
Doesn't matter.
Wait. This is me assessing. This is me speculating. Let me speculate. He sees George Zimmerman. Oh, look at this punk ass. And chasing me. Trayvon is upset because he ran. He feels like a punk. Oh, man.
Whoa.
Are you telling me that Trayvon is absolutely absolved of having some sense of pride? A young black kid, 17 years old, realizes that he ran from some 5'8" wimpy.
That's place where you go, I mean, it's just...
Oh, come on. That's implausible.
As they say in Nigeria, that's some fucking
I think it's less plausible than, all right, well, you know what? I'm just standing around. Well, until they get here, let me go see if I can see what I can find. I mean, come on, man. If the guy is... if the guy was so in fear, and as he said, he doesn't know where he's going. I'm worried, because he says it on the phone. I'm worried. I don't know where he is. He's nowhere to be seen.
Wait. All right? Hold on. You guys, your scenario's plausible, but mine is far-fetched?
No, I didn't say it was far-fetched. I said ours is a little more plausible than yours.
Well, give me a break. A young black kid who calls himself a no-limit
nigger?
What? A young black kid who refers to himself as a no-limit nigga, talking about on his Twitter page, you need to shoot them MFs, talking about, you know, sucker-ass niggas this and all that other stuff on his Twitter. And wait, he realizes...
Where did this come from?
His Twitter page.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. What do you mean, where did it come from?
Where did all this no-limit... Where did you get that from?
That was on his Twitter account. That's
that was on his Twitter account.
Yeah,
okay.
That
was on his Twitter account. All right, then. George Zimmerman is so altruistic, but he on his Twitter account, he says, you know what, hope for peace, but prepare for war.
Yeah, but hold on. But that could be the... Wait.
Wait.
That can be conceived in a number of ways.
That can be conceived in a number of ways.
From that nigga who? What did he call himself?
Oh, he called himself That Niggy Tugboat.
That Niggy Tugboat.
Well, he referred to himself as a nigga.
Yeah, That Niggy.
Yeah, okay, so obviously...
So is this a war between the No Limit niggas and the That Niggy tribes or squads? No.
Okay, you guys are missing my point. How is it that it's
You keep burying yourself in your point. You're not missing it.
How is it?
You keep burying
it not,
yourself with it.
Just let me finish. How is it not plausible?
That I didn't say it wasn't plausible. I said
it's
a. Really. If that was the case, if he was such a no limit dude, all right, and again, in George Zimmerman's own words, he's walking towards him first. He's checking him out, and he runs.
Hold on.
Hold
on. First of all, you're saying that Trayvon Martin was a fearful 6'3" black kid and ran for his life because he saw some stranger danger in a SUV. And then again, hold on. And then I said that when he realizes that he ran from some 5'8" Spanish-looking dude who looks like a chump to him, that he came back and said, "What am I running from this guy for? What, I ain't no sucker. What you following me for?" That's
all right.
Not plausible at all. Hold on. I'm going to put it to a vote. I'm going to put it to a vote. Okay? I'm going to put it to a vote. All right? On our Facebook page... Okay, on my Facebook page, I will put it to a vote. Okay, whose scenario is more plausible, mine or theirs? That he ran in fear, Trayvon Martin ran in fear, and would not have come back to confront George Zimmerman, or Trayvon Martin realizes that George Zimmerman is just a 5'8" Spanish looking dude. And Trayvon Martin says, "What
again,
am I
going to do?" Again, we have to say that, you know, a 6'3" black guy cannot be in fear for his life. Is that what you're trying to say?
No. No. What I'm saying is that this is a teenager who thinks he's invincible, like every teenager does.
Yeah, and so does every person who has a gun.
Not a licensed gun owner.
Oh, no, what? Are you kidding me? Just having a gun gives you a sense of control, a sense of power, whether it's legal or illegal. That has nothing to do, a piece of paper has nothing to do with the feeling that having a gun, feeling of security and empowerment that having a gun gives you.
Really,
whether
James?
Whether it's legal or illegal,
James?
Man, that has nothing
James?
To do with anything.
James, do you own a gun?
What? I refuse to own a gun because I know I'll use it.
Hold on. Wait. James, you're giving us an analysis on gun owners when you don't own a gun yourself, and therefore saying that a gun owner feels empowered when he holds one. A legal gun owner feels a sense of power and control when he has
one. Any gun owner. Any gun owner. Now, the fact is, just because I don't own a gun doesn't mean I've never had one in my hands.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about your own personal feelings when you hold a gun. As like, you hold the gun and you say, "Yeah, I could shoot a nigga right now." That how you felt when you held the gun, James?
You know what? Have you ever, whether you played laser tag or anything, you put a gun in your hands, and the first thing you go is, you look down the sight, and you're like, "Yeah, wow, look at that." You check the action, and it's a rush.
James, have you ever had a boombox or a tape deck?
Yeah.
Do you know the button all the way on the far right side? What's the button?
There are a lot of buttons.
There's only one on the far side of the tape deck. Do you know what button that is?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
It's pause. You're on pause. I'm putting you on pause. I'm going to cut off your mic. You're on pause. You did not compare holding a real gun with what some lunatic 8-year-old feels when he plays laser tag. You're on pause. I can't believe you. All right, let me play this audio before we get out of here, because I gotta rip into Halle Berry in a minute. Okay, we're gonna get. Okay, so the Trayvon Martin's family lawyer, Mr. Crump, I don't even know what his first name is. I'm sure somebody's gonna tell me what his name is.
What's Mr. Crump?
His last name is Crump. I don't know what his first name is.
Like the dance Crump?
I don't know.
Crumpet? You don't know what Crumpet is?
No, I don't know what that is.
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Former hip hop.
You mean Crunk? No, I never heard of that. Anyway, let's get into this audio. He was on the O'Reilly Factor tonight. James, I'm going to put you back on. You know I had to cut you off of that laser tag crap. I love you, bro. I love you. Okay, so here's their lawyer, Crump, who was on Bill O'Reilly's show, the O'Reilly Factor, tonight. This is his response to George Zimmerman's bruises.
I think this new doctor's report, it needs to be vetted properly. I think you're absolutely right when you say it should be tried in the court of law and all the evidence should be vetted completely. With this report, the thing that is real suspicious is if he was so hurt, why didn't the ER personnel take him to the hospital that night? That's the questions that the family of Trayvon Martin has. You know, when you think about it, he said that his head was beat into the pavement repeatedly for over a minute, and we saw that video 30 minutes later, Bill, and so it's a objective evidence versus what somebody thinks or their opinion. We think the most reliable thing is objective evidence, what we see on that video, what we hear on those 911 tapes, and this report from his family doctor needs to be fully vetted.
And he's right. It does need to be fully vetted, but I guess you're gonna find out that doctor ain't gonna risk his license to save George Zimmerman's ass. Anybody disagree? Nobody? I can't get one person. Come on,
James. Sorry, I hit on mute. I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, the doctor, what, you mean he's not going to lie? I don't understand. It's his
doctor. Yeah, but do you think the doctor's going to lie? Really? You think the doctor's going to put his career on the line to save George Zimmerman's ass? Just to keep George Zimmerman out of jail? That's what's on the other side of lying? Oh, George Zimmerman stays out of jail, but if I'm ever found out, I lose my license and my way of life for the rest of my life. Really? I'm going to jeopardize that.
Never been done before.
Doctors have lied for less.
Whoa. I've seen doctors lie for less, but to do what? To protect themselves from malpractice.
There'll be book deals and all kind of good old crap coming out of this case.
Or
for financial gain.
You know what? You know,
we're
he could
so
be
entrenched. We're so entrenched. I think we need to get a book deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, we're in French.
Okay, here's the second one where he responds to Trayvon Martin's knuckles. This is the lawyer, Crump, responding to the bruises on his knuckles. Trayvon's knuckles.
Well, Mr. Rowley, my response to that, and we're going to talk about the report hopefully in a second, but you have to put everything in the full context. George Zimmerman, for whatever reason, made a decision to get out of his car on a rainy night and profile and pursue and confront Trayvon Martin.
There's no truth to that. There's no evidence of that.
Audio evidence.
There's no evidence that he went out to confront Trayvon Martin.
He went out to he chased him. What do you think he was going to do?
No. He got out and wanted to sell them Girl Scout cookies.
No.
Yes.
What do you think
he was going to do, Reese?
Car to confront him? Tell me where George Zimmerman in any part of that 911 case suggests that I'm going to get out of the car and confront Trayvon.
He gets out of the car and starts chasing him. What was he going to do? What was he going to do, Reese?
And that's what the jury's going to ask.
follow up.
What do you forgot? Reese don't like juries, according to Mr. Hayhoe.
Come on, man. Please, you don't get out of the car and then
follow him.
Oh, just to follow him. He was just going to follow him.
Yeah.
That was it.
Then he's a stalker and should have gotten his ass whooped.
Anyway. Okay. So lastly, I'm going to throw it in one more time. One more time. Their lawyer, Mr. Crump, misstates the case again because they're trying to keep a narrative. Now listen to what he says and tell me that he doesn't misstate what happened.
Neighborhood watches, you're supposed to watch. And there are different versions of his account that hopefully are going to come out. But he said he was in fear of his life. Why do you get out of your car if you're in fear for your life? You can just drive away and wait for the police to come.
I can't possibly know. And all of those are legitimate.
And all I'm saying, if he would have stood down, none of this would have happened. There would be no need for him to stand his ground or anything like that.
If he had pulled out of there, Trayvon would be alive today, and absolutely. But it's further complicated by this Florida law that says, you know, if you fear bodily injury, you can use your weapon.
He says that if George Zimmerman would have stood down, didn't he do that?
What?
Well, so he claimed. So he claimed to the 911 operator.
There's no evidence that he stood down.
There's no evidence that he didn't, James.
There's none that he did either.
Right? Yeah, in fact, hold on. There's more
evidence that he did.
In fact, there's more evidence that he did than he didn't. You want to know why?
Why?
Two simple letters. O-K. To the response, we don't need you to do that.
And there's
he
also
responds,
the fact that...
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So we're going to give you 40 yards.
But he'll explain why he wasn't where he said he was supposed to be.
James, that's never ever been proven, James. No one's even brought that up, James. No one has brought it up. As much as JC tried to bring up that point by showing me the overhead camera photo of the neighborhood, not one person has said that George Zimmerman was not where he said he was. Not one person has ever said that. It's never been a report that it's only been speculation and been really promoted and promulgated by JC.
You wait till this darn trial. I'm sick of you, mister.
All right. I got to take a break because I got to tear into Halle Berry. I promised that I would. Look, I was 40 freaking... I was this long into this? All right. I got to take a break. We got to get into Halle Berry because I'm so ticked off at these Hollywood elites. I cannot believe I'm actually have to say this. But Barack Obama is the celebrity in chief. He is. And when you hear what Halle Berry said, you'll understand what I mean. You will finally understand what it is that I mean. When we get back, it's disgusting. It's disgusting, disgusting, disgusting.
Hater.
It is. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, it just is. And I'm going to find the audio real quick. Here's Barack Obama admitting that he is a celebrity. Admitting.
I don't have a typical situation. One of the virtues of celebrity is my fundraising capacity is higher just because I get a lot of attention. And so it's not entirely fair, but I don't have to go and just work the phones now the way I had to do when I was an unknown candidate, for example.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb
t- it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number two, what makeup at Bloomingdale's update her slutty flight attendant look?
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads, Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the radio. It's roughly about 40 to the top of the hour. Welcome to the night. My favorite part of the entire composition. Anyway, we're back. It's Reese on the radio. May the 16th, 2012. Got an early morning start tomorrow. Okay, so Halle Berry. Now look, as I just played for you before we went to the break, look, Obama thinks he's a celebrity. Of course he does. He's a celebrity, like it or not. And, you know, Hollywood loves him. George Clooney loves him. Everybody on Saturday Night Live loves him. All the actors and actresses, they love him. Julia Louise Dreyfus, Robert Redford, they all love them some Obama. And now they think that they just got Obama in the palm of their hands. So I don't know whether or not you guys heard this story. JC, you're into that whole celebrity world. You heard about Halle Berry going ape when some photographer took a picture of her daughter.
She had every right to.
Oh, yeah, sure she did. I agree with that. She had every right to go crazy. Those guys are scumbags, okay?
They killed Diana.
Well, people like them did. If I may, let me break this down to you. Let me tell you this great story. This is one of my favorite stories. I don't know who this guy is, but you can look him up. There was a story. It was a small piece in the Boston Herald one day. I was reading it, and this guy had died of an apparent heart attack back in 2004.
This guy died of an apparent heart attack in 2004. It was really, really awful story. And as I'm reading the story about this guy's accolades, things are dawning on me. Why are people talking about this particular guy? Then I start reading the accolades. This guy was one, like a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer for Life magazine, which, of course, a lot of people remember. Very, very important, you know, history involved magazine. It's Life, for crying out loud. Life magazine. This guy had won countless of photography awards, was there when, you know, took pictures of, you know, Muhammad Ali, John F. Kennedy, just all of these great people. And this guy had died. So I was only intrigued because it's kind of an obit about this great, famous photographer who took pictures of all of these people. Until I read the end of how he died. And it turned out that he had a heart attack climbing a fence in Savannah, Georgia, trying to take photographs of the home shared by Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. I can't believe this is how you ended your career.
Hoisted on his own Zoom lens.
Isn't that awful? You've got every possible accolade. You've got every possible award in the world. You're a titan in the photography world. And you
got to climb over fences.
Yeah, exactly. You're climbing over fences to get a photo of some half-wit Puerto Rican from the Bronx and some loser actor from Boston. I mean, come on, man. What was their silly little name in the media? What did they call them?
Bennifer.
Here lies the moron who tried to get a shot of Bennifer.
And they didn't even last. I died for that.
You couldn't sell that photo for plasma.
Excuse me, they're immortal.
You couldn't sell that picture for plasma. It's worthless.
That's not even going in my memoirs.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know who your kids are, your grandfathers, your grandchildren are, but can you imagine your children telling that story to their grandchildren? How did Pop die, Mom? Well, there were these B actors.
Could you imagine them telling that story drunk at Hollywood parties?
Exactly. Oh, man. And Pop had to have a picture of Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck in their Savannah, Georgia home. Dad, I don't know how he made it on the other side of that 10-foot fence, but whatever he did, he collapsed on the other side of it. Goodness gracious.
Did the family sue?
Of course. The family, they can't sue. They cannot sue.
Well, they had the fence there, and he fell over the fence.
All I want to know is this, okay? Did the photo at least pay for the funeral? Anyway.
A couple of them Pulitzer Prize, those necklaces with the little medallions on them?
I don't know. Okay, so let me get back to this whole Halle Berry thing. So Halle Berry is screaming and hollering at the paparazzi. I'm not even going to play that video because that's just ridiculous. Here's where it's funny. So she's doing an interview at a gala event for Revlon, which, you know, she's a sponsor. She's in the ads. And the person who's there is asking her a question about the altercation, and she says this.
Speaking of children, being a father, I got to say, I was so happy for you, the way you stood up to the paparazzi, because that was so awful. I mean, what can we do to stop something like that?
You know, I don't know. I've been struggling for years. There are no laws here that protect our children. And as a mom, coming to the school, not only my child, but all the children that are there, it's just wrong, wrong, wrong. And I'm going to continue this fight, and I'm going to, you know, I think I'm going to call Obama and say, look, can you help us?
What's up?
I know this seems like a little issue to you right now, but it's big in our lives, and our lives at the school, and our children being protected. And I think it's really, really important. So, you know, I'm going to keep, you know, I hate that I lost my cool, but, you know, I'm human. That happens. When it comes to my daughter, I'm ferocious.
She said she's ferocious. And she's so ferocious, she wants to call the President of the United States. Barack, can you help us? Can you help us? We millionaires and billionaires. Can you help us to make sure nobody takes a picture of our little kitties? Buy security, bitch.
Hey!
That's Catwoman. She don't need security.
Now get your ass some security, bitch. You don't want anybody to see your kid, your ragamuffin you had with the white man? Get your ass some security. Okay? Somebody
she should have been got security.
Damn right. Somebody want to take a picture of your crumb snatcher? Too bad, bitch.
All them ass whoopings she got from her exes.
That's right. You should know how to defend yourself by now. What's
Bob and
like?
Weave. Bob and Weave.
Now you decide to be ferocious, bitch. Where was that ferociousness when Wesley Snipes was getting in that ass? What happened when the baseball player knocked out the hearing? What's up now, bitch? What's the haps now?
When Christopher Williams was kicking you around like a Brazilian soccer player.
Christopher Williams, don't wake me. She's sleeping. He said, don't wake her. She's sleeping. Why she got a black eye? Don't worry. She's sleeping. Now, I'm not promoting this, okay? I'm not saying it was good. But knock it off. Call Obama. You got the means to do whatever it is that you want to protect your children. Don't talk about calling the President of the United States.
Oh, come on, man. It was just a joke.
Had it been Taylor Swift and Bush, you'd have been like, sure.
Oh, well, now you're saying I'm protecting Taylor Swift over Halle Berry.
How many had it been Taylor Swift and she were calling George Bush?
If anybody
you'd go into your spiel of how Texans take care of their women.
What was Taylor Swift going to say? Hey, Taylor, how'd you feel about that whole Kanye getting up on the stage and taking your moment from you? And Taylor Swift had turned around and said, yeah, I know, we got to put a stop to that. I mean, maybe we should call George W. Bush. Out of this stuff.
Well, Taylor.
We need to call George W. Bush. I said, what you need to do, bitch, is take out Beyonce.
She did. She did.
Go after Beyonce's numbers. That's what you do. But I can't believe that Halle Berry would say, maybe I should give a call to Obama. Like,
then why not?
Why
not?
Come on, man. You're taking it way too literally. You know that, right?
No. Of course I'm taking it too. Guys, this is all sad. You do this is satire, right?
No, because you're calling with a spiel for it next week.
You know, I understand. You know, you're just
you're coming with a spiel for it next week.
He actually does have Obama on speed dial.
I mean, come on.
She's Halle Berry. Come on. You know he's you know he'd accept the call.
Yeah, I bet
you know he would accept the call.
But you see, of course he would accept the call. But
collect.
My bottom line is that if she really wanted to call somebody to protect her, she should call Wesley Snipes. Apparently he's real handy with the hand.
His ass is locked up.
And he don't like paparazzi either. Or paying taxes.
As long as the paparazzi are not coming to collect his taxes.
there.
At this point, through that plate glass window, he'll talk to anybody.
Hey, by the way, guys, tomorrow when we go up on the air, we're gonna replay the G Depp interview tomorrow. Did you guys hear about G Depp's sentencing?
No.
All right. Talk about it tomorrow when we get back. G Depp was sentenced. He's about to go upstate for the murder he committed about 20 years ago. As usual, we love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio.
How long did he get?
We'll tell you tomorrow.